Hello, it's Randy Rhodes. Here's a clip from our show, and go to randyrhodes.com for the whole thing and a podcast. Buy a stinking podcast.
Believe it. Knock, knock. Who's there?
Hey. It's a figment of your imagination.
Randy Rhodes Show. Turn up your mind.
Jason O'Reilly. Williams. O'Reilly suddenly off the air. I mean, like, listen, like 2 weeks ago he was on, a week ago he was on, suddenly gone. This is huge. It's like looking at your front yard and the big oak tree is just gone. And sure, the oak tree said some disturbing things about young black men, what with their rap music and their neck tattoos, but damn it, the tree had been there forever, and your grandpa liked to just sit there and stare at it. And then the tree would sell your grandpa gold coins and self-lubricating catheters. Now, Fox issued an official statement this afternoon on O'Reilly's dismissal. I think they just took the Roger Ailes statement and changed the nouns. They celebrated O'Reilly's career, saying, by rating standards, Bill O'Reilly is one of the most accomplished TV personalities in the history of cable news. Yes, no, no, no. By rating standards, he is. By moral standards, he was a self-righteous landfill of angry garbage. The thing, I owe a lot to Bill O'Reilly. I spent over 9 years playing a character based largely on him. And then 12 months in therapy to debloviate myself. So tonight, we at The Late Show are proud to issue a statement from Bill O'Reilly's biggest fan, conservative pundit, Stephen Colbert. Hello, nation. Shame on you. You failed him. You failed Bill O'Reilly. You didn't deserve this great man. All he ever did was have your back. And if you're a woman, you know, have a go at the front, too. And what? Suddenly sexual harassment's a crime? But that's the country we live in now. Obama's Trump's America. I guess I always knew this day would come. When I first saw Bill on TV, I knew in my heart that no one could possibly sustain such a broad character for that long. So, Bill, I invite you to come live in the mountain cabin with me and Jon Stewart. It's fun. You'll like it. We've got an animal sanctuary. Jon and I milk the goats. And soon, I hope, we'll be milking you. Stay strong, Papa Bear. Oh, God, is this really happening?
You realize the 1950s are officially over, everybody. They're over. All right. All right. Yes, thanks to all the settlements, Fox News did the math, and I guess they realized that they had spent about the same amount on his salary, $18 million a year, as they had on his settlements, $15 million. So they paid for his on-air stuff. They paid for his off-air stuff. Both were equally offensive, apparently. And so bye-bye. I'm so excited. You know, here's a little word of advice to the people running the Foxy News channel. You know, in Japan, supposedly they have sexual harassment bars where the patrons go in and they pay to be sexually harassed by a woman playing the part that, you know, whatever the patron wants her to play. So maybe if Fox News set up, you know, like, I don't know, a floor or two in that big Foxy building in New York and the headquarters there, something like that, then Bill O'Reilly, Roger Ailes, even Tucker Carlson, who, you know, is, you know, gonna, maybe they could get it out of their systems and leave the women who actually do the hard work at Fox News alone. Wouldn't that be something? I'm just saying. Just saying, there's an idea for you. I mean, it's unbelievable. So, you know, O'Reilly, you know, had said so many disgusting things. Where do you even begin? I guess you don't. I guess everybody remembers the crap he said. Remember the 1950s when Bill O'Reilly sat on the air and said slaves who built the White House were well-fed and had decent lodgings provided by the government. Remember that? That's gone. Thank God. Remember when Bill O'Reilly asked Heather Newhart for a video of herself jogging and sweating? Remember that? Yeah, go to the frat house. That's apparently where all this stuff belongs. But, you know, here's the sick thing about this story. America's most embarrassing uncle, Bill O'Reilly, who aged so... God, did he age badly. I mean, you know, last night we were inundated with reliving Bill O's career, you know, with the, you know, that great video of, we'll do it live, we'll do that. Yeah, and I mean, I was looking at him, and it's like 20 years ago. Okay, it's 20. He looks like hell, man. I mean, the guy just like, I don't know, that flesh face just, you know, it just exploded into a big giant flesh beard. And, you know, just like all that was left were the little slits of the little blue eyes that, you know, that's it. That's all that. It's just, wow. I got to say, it's just, and he never matured. Just never. He just got old. That's it. So now America's most embarrassing Uncle Bill O'Reilly is going to be replaced with America's slimiest cousin, Tucker Carlson. This is who they selected. And I'm looking at, like, there's no one left there. You understand this? There's no one left there. Even Greta Van Susteren. She's at MSNBC now, which is just bizarre. It's just so strange. But she is there. And Megyn Kelly is gone. These were all their ratings heroes, okay? These were the people that... Now, you understand, I've been telling you this for a really long time. This is why, you know, it's so important to reach the million mark. Yes, because once you reach a million viewers, listeners, whatever, a million subscribers on YouTube, the whole world is your oyster, you understand? I mean, these people have been making $18 million. Some of them make $8 million. Some make $12 million on 1 million listeners, 1 million people. It's really sick. It's a twisted world, this cable news thing is. But, you know, Tucker Carlson has said things that are as bad as Bill O'Reilly. And he's, you know, he's a pathetic figure to begin with. But not so much as the replacement for Bill O'Reilly. He's like Bill O'Reilly's lightweight. Do you know what I mean? I don't know what's going to happen. I've been looking at like the you know, that horrible show that's almost a parody called The Five. That's going to move into, I think, the 9 o'clock spot. Really? Who is Eric Bolling? Anybody? So there's no one there. There is absolutely nobody that wants to work at Fox News. So we did it, everybody. It took us a really long time, but we've broken it. It's broken. Mine's broken. Now the alt-right and the right wing, they're going to go, where's our fake news? Ours is broken. Ours is broken. Yeah, it is broken. But, you know, it was a long slog with them. It really was. And now it seems like all your fake news is now being imported, as you know, along with everything in Walmart, along with everything, right? Everything is being imported into the United States. It's amazing. And so today there's a story that the Russian government, swear to God, there was a place, there was a think tank, everybody, in Russia called the Russian Institute for Strategic Studies. And that particular place is controlled by Vlad the Impaler, Vladimir Putin. And there it was that he developed a plan to swing the 2016 U.S. presidential election to Donald Trump and undermine voters' faith in American democracy and our electoral system. What do I mean by that? So what I mean by that is that the whole idea of a rigged election came from this Russian place. The whole idea that the Clintons, that the Clinton Foundation was paying the Clintons, and even though the Clintons never took a penny from the Clinton Foundation, this whole fake news story that the Clinton Foundation was 100% paying the Clintons, you know, all the money that they collected to themselves, and that got 9 million views on social media. You see what I'm talking about? Trump was the victim of an unfair media. That came from the Russian Institute. Here, let me play you the report that came out today on Reuters. It's just pretty awesome. And, you know, Congress is still on vacation. So we have to wait till next week. Now, next week's going to be, another barrel of crazy. You understand? Next week. OK, let me put it this way. The Friday is the last day the government is funded, so they need a funding bill. They are talking about a new health care bill. I'll go over it with you today. If you thought the other one was bad, this one's worse, much, much worse. And I'll tell you what it would cost you if you are thinking of having a child, if you're diabetic, if you're cancer-free but a cancer survivor, if you have cancer currently and you're involved in curing yourself or getting into remission. There are actual numbers that are attached to your specific condition that have been put together by the Centers for American Progress. So we'll take a look at that. But here, first, just so, and then next week, Adam Schiff says that he's got the House Intelligence Committee back on track. You know, Devin Nunes is being investigated by the House Ethics Committee. Did you know there was one? Yeah, and so he's being investigated for trying to sabotage his own investigation, which is fabulous. I mean, that's like, you know, what Bill O'Reilly should have been doing is, you know, screwing himself. Leave the women alone. Screw yourself. But here's the report. This is amazing, okay? This is really good. Check this out. This is a Reuters report.
Discovered in talking with seven current and former U.S. officials, there's actually an internal think tank that reports to Russian President Vladimir Putin that outlined the game plan in writing in Russian government documents of how the Putin administration planned to influence the U.S. electorate through a media and social media campaign.
He said Trump is a genius.
Elect Donald Trump and discredit Hillary Clinton.
The scheme's blueprint coming from the Russian Institute for Strategic Studies, closely linked to Russia's Foreign Intelligence Service. Sources said the think tank proposed the strategy last June. A second document from the group produced in October warned Hillary Clinton was likely to win the race and argued it was better for Russia to sow doubt about the elections and undermine her presidency.
It describes that it looks as though Hillary Clinton is going to win, so we should tailor our messaging away from pro-Trump propaganda to weakening, poisoning the well for the expected Clinton presidency.
Officials telling Reuters both documents from the think tank circulated at the highest levels of Putin's government. The documents say nothing about Russian cyber attacks or any collusion between Trump's campaign and the Kremlin. But Parker says they helped shape the U.S. view of Russia's intentions.
I think the officials would call it proof of the Russian intent in writing from the Russian government.
Oops.
So yes, a smoking gun along with other evidence, like a puzzle, there are missing parts and you put them in. One part of the puzzle is you have the hacking of the DNC and the stealing of emails from Clinton officials. So receiving these documents after the election were the final piece of the puzzle.
Damn. It's the puzzle is coming together, everybody, isn't it? It's starting to look like a full picture. So here you have a Russian government think tank that's controlled by Vladimir Putin. It's actually headed by a lieutenant general who for 33 years worked in Russia's foreign intelligence for Vladimir Putin. Okay, that's who runs the Russian Institute for Strategic Studies. And the documents that that we have, there were a couple of papers. Paper number one was written last June. Like the report said, it was circulated at the highest levels of the Russian government, and it recommended the Kremlin launch a propaganda campaign on social media, and that the global news outlets that are backed by Russia, like RT and Sputnik, that they encourage U.S. voters to elect a president who would take a softer line on Russia. Now, of course, these documents don't show collusion because these are the documents that express that Trump will take a softer line. But these aren't the documents that show why they believed that Trump would take a softer line on Russia. For that, you have to go someplace else. This is just one piece of the puzzle, as I said. And the second document that was drafted in October concluded that Hillary Clinton was likely to win. And so they started inundating, specific targeted voters who were likely to vote for Hillary Clinton or who were on the fence with anti-Hillary propaganda so that they would stay home. So that they could, you know, tamp down the vote for Hillary Clinton. It was distributed the same way, over Twitter with bots and in this whole effort to tamp down her vote. That was in October. And they said it was better for them if Hillary Clinton's presidency, which they thought was likely, would be ruined and her credibility would be ruined. So they went out to, try and make her a liar, you know, decrease her honesty and, trustworthy numbers. That's what they did. Now, of course, Putin has denied interfering in our elections all along, and now we have concrete documents that say that he was involved. And, of course, Obama knew this, and that's why Obama, all the intelligence that we had saved. There's other evidence that shows that Putin started this pro-Trump strategy way back in March of 2016. That was the month that the Kremlin instructed state-backed media outlets, including Russia Today and Sputnik News Agency, to start producing positive reports on Trump's quest for the presidency in the United States.
Randy Rhodes Air Force. RandyRhodes.com.
Go to RandyRhodes.com for the whole thing and a podcast. Buy a stinking podcast.